Lord, we pray for our families. Dad, we want to carry your burden in this world as you are burdened for people. You sent your son to save the lost. And we are here in this world as light shining and to weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice, that we care because your love is shed abroad in our hearts. Lord, for those that are alone this Christmas season, you are the comforter and teacher and guide for us. Lead us in our thinking. Use these words. Please touch our spirits today. Magnify your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I said, there's so many. Irmeli is here today. Hi, Irmeli. Wow, that's amazing. She, had a heart attack and some other things, and here she is shining brightly. Good to see you. Wow, and Greg. As we said, the subject is extensive counsel. When we read the Bible, actually, the Bible is just filled with counsel, God's words to us, and then specifically to his own people, the Jewish people. And in speaking to them, he also speaks to us Americans and everybody else in the world. Because the Bible is got levels, or it's got dimensions. It's the Bible, black marks on pages, but then it's more, it's words with meaning, and then there's deeper meaning, so much that the Bible is holding the universe together by the word of his power. Wow. So I was thinking of the way we can approach this in simple terms. We have God. We have a proud man. I'll make him tall. Proud man. We have God, and we have a short man, and we have another short man. God is called Wonderful Counselor. Does he counsel a proud man? The answer is yes. He does. Matthew 23, Christ was very angry with the Pharisees and called them names and said, "Woe unto you, woe unto you," 8 times. There was a Pharisee in the house, Simon, in Luke 7, and Christ talked to Simon, said, "Simon, this woman has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears. But when I came to your house, you did not anoint me or wash my feet." He speaks to the proud because he loves everybody. The unbeliever out in the neighborhood, God speaks to him different ways. Psalm 19 speaks about 2 ways. General revelation, that is the universe and the moral law written in the hearts of people, and then specific revelation by the Bible. By quoting a Bible verse, have you ever done that in the barber shop? Quoted a Bible verse, or at a hospital bedside? Or to your neighbor, lovingly, with an attitude of humility, an attitude of love and faith? I believe those words can ring ring, like the young man who went to the country preacher, heard the message, and walking home, he heard the bullfrogs. And he said the bullfrogs were saying, "Rivet, rivet, you must be born again. Rivet, rivet, you must be born again." Meaning that the word of God does not return void. It accomplishes a purpose. God is a wonderful counselor. He goes to the heart of the proud man. And he says, "How are you doing?" Isaiah 50, verse 11. He said, "When they make the fire is the sparks of their own emotions, like an amusement park or a party or a discotheque, I don't know what they're called today, but a club where the sparks are from the soul of a man," God said, "and you shall lie down in sorrow, for you have this at my hand." He knows how to deal with proud people. Don't worry about it. Mind your own business. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. But how could this man, remember Paul's name was Saul, and it was changed to Paul. I mean, he started to use his Roman name, Paul, and it means little. It's funny, the name change kind of paralleled what was needed in his life, humility. I'm not a humble man. But if I have Christ, I have all the humility I need. He is the humble one. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And he fills you with the Holy Spirit. And now you are able to receive the counsel that comes from God. A couple points about this. The meek will hear, Psalm 25, verse 9. When Jethro said to Moses, here's Jethro, he said to Moses, "You need help in what you're doing. You're listening to people all day long. You're going to get burned out." What did Moses do in response? But he agreed. "I agree with you, Jethro." And that's a beautiful thing when two wise people or two people that are open to divine counsel are in agreement. There is no chiding or fighting. And a number of times it happens in the scripture where Paul and Timothy have fellowship with God between them. God is their counselor. It happened with David and Abigail. Remember, David was going to go kill Abigail's husband, Nabal. And Abigail met him with food and said, "Please, David, do not do this. This is too below you. You are more honorable. Don't you know that you are anointed as king?" David and Abigail, David understood Abigail, and he, though she was a woman, she had God's mind. And Sarah and Abraham, though she was a woman, God said to Abraham, "Listen to Sarah, she has my mind." When Mary broke the box of ointment and poured it out on Jesus, the disciples are there like this, and Judas is there saying, you know what they said. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She's right on. She's got the right mind. She knows what she's doing. She's giving it all. She's pouring it out. She's giving her most precious thing. Leave her alone." You see, the world is filled with pride and counsel that comes from men. And they don't need God. They don't need God. It's incredible when you live in a place where God is not talked about, God is not referred to, God is not listened to, the Bible is ridiculed, there is no living Bible, there is no message. It's a terrible thing. I read from Chuck Colson an article yesterday. He said there was a group of 12 scholars, and they had a red card, a yellow card, and a black card, and they were studying the scripture, and when somebody didn't believe it was literally so, they lifted a red card. Somebody said it could be a combination, a yellow card, and then if it isn't true at all, it's a black card. I am so glad I'm not in a group of people like that. That is next to ridiculous. That is the foolishness of man. That is the pride of man. I don't care what scholar is a scholar. There are evil men in every area of life. There are doctors that are evil. There are businessmen that are evil. There are politicians that are evil. There are pastors that are evil. Just because they have a training or education doesn't mean that the heart of man is walking in wisdom with the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. Every one of us, if you are a scholar of the Bible, the Word of God, the greatest thing that you could ever have is humility before God and get it from God. What is God saying? If you are a pastor, the greatest thing in the world is to be anointed of the Spirit of God. And you're not important. You just don't care about it in terms of your self-life. You're wanting God to be ministering to the body and feed the flock and build up the body and reveal to us counsel. There's a little side point. I hope I don't get lost in it. It goes like this. Sometimes we think, I need counsel for money, relationships. I need counsel for marriage, raising kids, for my job, where I live. I need counsel. Wouldn't it be great if we had answers for all of these things? Pastor, teach me about money. Teach me about relationships. Teach me about marriage. Teach me about raising my kids. We can say that to God. God, teach me. And he does answer us. What does he say? If I gave you a mechanical answer, that a mechanical answer, A, B, C, D, you might take that answer and do it. But what if I say to you, Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Could it be any greater? But the problem is, it's not a mechanical answer, A, B, C, D, that I can't take that information and process it through my intellect and in my emotions. But instead, it requires my heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It sounds to me, God's not going to tell me maybe what I want to hear, but he's going to tell me what I need to hear. And it is wonderful. At the end of the day, I don't really care about my money as much as I care about why am I alive? Am I glorifying God? Does my life have a divine purpose? Do I have wisdom? Am I able to take the $2 that I do have and be able to share them with share with people around me in my heart? I mean, maybe $2 is, you know what I'm saying. Or wisdom. Wisdom. It's not about money. It's about righteousness. It's not about my marriage, it's about God. And when God is in my life, God is going to help me in my... And if I am divorced, like God is in my life. And if I'm divorced a second time, like God is in my life. I hope so. I want that. Because he is the wonderful counselor. And maybe I'm going to learn something from God. And the Spirit is going to satisfy me. What if God told me something about money, but my heart is not satisfied? What if he told me something about marriage, but I still lie down frustrated? What if I got the job, the perfect job, but I live in the fear of losing it? It isn't about these things primarily. It's about God being a wonderful counselor for us. Let's think about a couple people. Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah chapter 4, the first couple of verses. Jonah, why are you angry? Are you doing okay being angry? How about Esther in the book of Esther? What did her uncle counsel her to do? Esther, you have to go in before the king. And she's saying, you know that if I go in and I don't have the permission, I can be executed. And Mordecai is saying, yeah, we're all going to be executed. And if you think you're going to escape this, yeah, don't fool yourself. You are Jewish also, and you will be found out. But if it is God to have you in this place so that you can go before the king on our behalf, then let it be done. But if not, God will raise up somebody else that will do it. Counsel from my uncle, where my life is on the line. Do you have a good friend? Do you have somebody that can give you good counsel? Like in our little picture over here, where is it, this one? Do you have somebody that you can get good counsel from, that the Bible speaks to you, and God knows that every one of us need not the words of men, but the counsel. When death is at the door, knocking at the door, I need a word from God. Put the photo album away. Beautiful photo album of days gone by. But I need the living God right now because I'm passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And I need a word in season for him that is weary. I need God to show up for me and fill me with his Holy Spirit and be my wisdom and my counsel. I know what it's like, I know many of you do too, to have problems in life, in our families or at work or with your health. But I am so happy that we have learned to hear the counsel that comes from Jesus. A couple thoughts about it. Jesus, our counselor, when he is kind and he counsels Peter, who denied him three times. Where is Peter? I've got to meet Peter. I've got to see Peter. I've got to talk to Peter. I care about Peter. The devil wanted to sift him like wheat, but I prayed for him. And at the resurrection of Jesus on that first day, there's no detail about it, but Peter met Jesus that day. And I wonder what they said. There's no record. But you know, some days later, when Peter was fishing back up in the Sea of Galilee, Jesus met Peter and said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me three times? You know I do. You know I do. You know I do. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Kindness. Counsel. He's a wonderful counselor to the humble and the broken because he's kind. He loves you. He's a great counselor because he is a finished work counselor. Finished work. The mysteries of Christ. He tells you about who you really are. I am a sinner. This man last night in the nursing home, or the night before, Justin was telling me, My son Justin was telling me that they did some singing at the nursing home. There was a 61-year-old man there with a bloated stomach with liver disease, and that he understood, Justin had understood, he tried to take his life by eating a lot of Tylenol pills that ruined his liver, so he has to get a liver transplant. The man is dying. He said, I've ruined my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. And I know the Christmas carols. Thank you very much. You guys can move on. But Justin, he just stayed there. And somehow, you know, the wonderful counselor spoke to that man. And in a little bit, tears were running down his cheeks. And Justin said, "Do you want to receive Jesus?" He said, "Yes." And Justin knelt down beside his bed, and he did. You know, I don't know about you, but I sometimes get angry about the counsel that comes from the world. They are miserable counselors. They don't know our iniquity. They don't preach the gospel. There is no gospel. There is no message. There is no forgiveness with the world. They just go on in their foolishness. They go on from one thing to the next, and they never come to the bottom. They never come to the real place because they can't get humble enough to get in the house. Like, I must be born again. I must believe in him, and then I can get into hearing what God has to say to us. And he will say, "You are not your sin. You are forgiven. Your name is in the book of life. You have the Spirit of God. God is your Father. God is for you." This book speaks. It calls it, it says, sweeter than honey. We could go through Psalm 19 today. And I can't believe these verses. I'll finish with this. This is so amazing. You know them by heart, I think. He goes through six things. Let me help you, because we can do it this way. I am a square. I am converted to a circle. The circle has wisdom, so I'll put a graduation hat on the circle. The circle with the graduation hat is wise. He becomes wise, and then he has joy. Then the next thing the Word of God does, he enlightens his eyes. So he ends up with eyes enlightened and joy. Listen, without the Bible, you stay here. But let me read it to you. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's number one. Your soul is converted from a square to a circle. You're converted. That means that you are born again. That means your life has changed substantially. That means that Christ is in you. Then what happens? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This is change number two. How does it happen? The Bible. All these phrases are different ways of saying the Bible. The testimony of the Lord, the law of the Lord. The next one, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's the third change. Heart is rejoice. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's the fourth change. Now, do you know what this means? There's nothing in this world that can change people except this book speaking to them as a counselor. And it's not like a religious thing. I know you're here listening to a preacher and you got your Bible, we got the Bible on the screen and so on, but it's a lot. Yeah, this is a great place for this to happen. But what I'm trying to say, it becomes a way of thinking. It's something absorbed in my heart. It's the way I process my life. It has to do my good days, my bad times, and my work, my practical life, driving a car, walking into a mall or a store, or buying a phone, or talking to a friend. It's on the phone. It's a way of thinking. This is what has happened to us. And this is what it says. Please listen. It says, more to be desired are they than gold. Do you know when the California gold rush happened, 1849? 300,000 Americans went by wagon, train, and by steamboat to California. 5 to 1 men, 5 men to 1 woman. Men, young men, went to California to find gold. And they put it all on the line. They traveled for months to go to find gold. Hey, it happened to me. It did. But it was this book. This is more to be desired than gold. I moved from New York to Maine. I left college in New York and I went to Maine because of this book. You and I, we make decisions because of that book. I went to Finland as a missionary because of that book. And many of you have done the same thing. And we sat down with a small group of people. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a lot of people. You just need a couple of them, humble people. And Jesus is the wonderful Counselor. This book is more to be desired than gold, than it says, than fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Listen, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Have you been warned by coming to this church and listening to the Bible? Have you been warned by waking up in the morning and reading your own Bible with a cup of coffee? Have you been warned by listening to a tape or a video or an audio or whatever it is? But have you been warned by the Bible? Has it given you counsel and direction? Has it kept you from making stupid decisions? It has for me. What happens? We're warned. Then what else does it say? And in keeping of them, there is great reward. I don't know. Maybe you just put your hand on your liver. I'd have a liver disease today. But there's great reward in the Bible. What do you mean? What I mean is that the Bible has given us a way of thinking and a way of living and decision-making that has kept us from a lot of trouble. We've been delivered from a lot of sin. We are sinners and we are all that. We know this, but we have also been warned. I go over that way. No, don't go over that way. God is saying. You say, how does he say it? I don't know. I just know he does. The Bible speaks to us. Martha, Martha, you're troubled and cumbered about and anxious and worried about many things in the household. Mary's chosen the good thing that will not be taken away from her. Who can understand his errors? This is verse 12. I want to close this, but just follow it. Who can understand my own errors? That's called blind spots. Who can understand my own errors? I don't know. I can't understand why I did that stupid thing. Hanging from a railroad bridge to fall on top of a railroad car, traveling at high speed as a stupid kid. Who can understand my errors when there's some woman involved or there's some money involved or there's some other thing in life? Who can understand our stupid errors? Please understand me. Putting a needle in my arm, being angry about something, so angry about it, I can't sleep at night. I hate. Who can understand the human heart? The nervousness, the worried life. Who can understand his errors? Look at verse 12. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Is that up on the screen? Thank you. I think that's another message. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Here it is. Lord, let's go back and finish. Lord, if you let me in this house, if I'm born again, I got real small, I can walk into that house, and I'll be able to hear. And you're a wonderful counsel, and you'll tell me about the cross, the priesthood, tell me about money. Pharaoh will say, should we do, Joseph? And Joseph will say, I got an idea. For 7 years, we'll collect the grain in silos. There'll be a surplus, a buffer crop. Joseph is saying this. Where's this coming from? Joseph is in the house. He's got a wonderful counselor. Joseph is saying, Pharaoh, I know. And Pharaoh is listening to Joseph, said, okay, whatever you say, you're the second guy in the kingdom. Whatever you say, we'll do it. Joseph did it. When they were starving to death, they opened up the silos. They started feeding people from other parts of the world, start coming to Egypt for food, including the boys from Israel. Yeah. I'm saying to you, you got the greatest asset that anybody could ever have in this world, and that is God. And he's a talking God. He is a counseling God. And he cares about you. He's going to help us. We're going to go into the year 2020. By God's grace, he's going to help us. Sometimes it gets scary. Man, sometimes looking into the future. But don't cool it. Don't worry about it. Cast your care about him. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough evil for the day. Hear the voice of God. Jesus is saying, just pay attention. Worship me and trust me. I'll speak to you. I'll guide you. I'll lead you out of trouble and I'll lead you into a blessing. I will help you. I will be your counselor. You say, Lord, yeah, but what about? And he goes, I know all about it. What you need is me. Trust in me with all your heart and don't lean on your own in all your ways. Acknowledge me. And I'll direct your path. I'll cleanse you from secret error. I will show you your blind spots. I will cleanse you from secret faults. And your meditation will be acceptable unto me. And I will help you. But beware. Because I might put my finger on something in your heart. And I'm going to tell you to obey me. That might be tough, but you can do it. You humble yourself under me. When I say forgive, and I put that my finger right there in your heart, you're sitting in the house, you're getting counsel, and God is saying, you know what I'm talking about? And you're going like little puppy dog eyes, you know? Yeah. Then do it. Forgive. You'll be forgiven. Okay, amen. Lord, we thank you for answering our prayer. helping, speaking to our hearts. Please. This whole ministry is not based on anything organizational. It's all based on your counsel. You counseled the church in the epistles. You counseled your people in the prophets. You counsel us in the gospels. You're the counselor. Counsel, please, in Africa, India, everywhere with the men and women of God that worship and believe you. Lord, help us, lead us, counsel us. You'll take care of us. And there will be great reward. If you're here this morning and you feel God's doing business in your heart, just every eye closed, every head bowed, just for my sake, just raise your hand. If you feel God's doing business in your heart as a believer, Lord, speak into your heart about something. Just raise your hand. Anyone? Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, I just say that just to feel. I feel it in my heart. God's dealing with me in my heart. And I'm looking for this counsel from him. Thank you, God. Then if you are not a believer today, please come to Jesus. You're not a believer, please come to Jesus by faith. And say to Jesus Christ, I believe in you. And then just raise your hand, please. Anyone saying that prayer for the first time, just raise your hand. Anyone? Yes, to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Then I'll ask the pastors just to come down front and stand in the front here. Pastors, just come on down front and stand in the front. Thank you. So if you have a prayer request or a word you're looking for from one of these brothers, then feel free to come forward. Father, would you stand with me, please? Father, dismiss us in your grace. Will you bring us to you, you in our personal lives, in our hearts? You are not far from any one of us. Each and every one of us is deeply loved and cared for by our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. Use these words as we take them home. Bless tonight's service. And then Tuesday night, we're here for the candlelight service at 5:30 Tuesday night. Everyone is welcome. Candlelight service for 1 hour of fellowship together in a message. Tuesday night. So dismiss us now. Amen.